had before, but this is what we're studying. We've been studying the commissions, and we got to the point where we've talked about our commission, and the rapture ends our commission, but then that means the kingdom commission that had begun in the Acts period needs to be picked up again in the tribulation period that's going to follow the rapture. And so we started talking about that last week, but I thought what I intended to go into first is kind of like, it's strange. I'll just prepare you for a couple weeks from now. It's some strange thinking, but I believe it's biblical. But before you could receive that, I think you needed to have an understanding of the book of Revelation. So last week, we just talked about the book of Revelation itself, because that's when the kingdom commission is going to be continued and brought to an end as the kingdom comes with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Matthew 24 told us that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So that's what's going to be happening during the tribulation. The gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached, it's going to be a witness to all nations, and then the end is going to come with the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we did a survey of Book of Revelation last week, and I told you at the end, there's two questions. And the reason I'm asking the two questions, they're pertinent to what we're going to study after we answer these two questions. And not so much that it's absolutely necessary that you lock down and believe what the answer that I'm going to give you to these two questions, but it does get you thinking so that you would be able to think about how the Kingdom Commission picks up. And the two questions that I ended with, as we saw, first of all, and it's really basic, that the book of Revelation is divided into seal judgments, trumpet judgments, and vial judgments. And those number sevens run throughout the book of Revelation, and there's seven seal judgments, seven trumpet judgments, seven vial judgments. And after we viewed the whole book, I said one of the questions that we need to ask is, are the seal judgments, trumpet judgments, vial judgments sequential, or the term I use was relapping? Now, I passed out a piece of paper so that when I say relapping, what am I talking about? And I look at this, and this makes the book of Revelation really complicated. The paper that I passed out, they call it looping parallelism. And I believe that's a term that was coined by Keith Blades, and I know that John Verstegen teaches the book of Revelation this way, but I'm not sure whose chart this is. I know that phrase, looping parallelism, where I've heard it first, but I don't know who to give credit to for this chart, and I don't want to give credit to the wrong person because there's some strange things in this chart. For one, if you look to the very bottom, Brandon and I would wonder about that. They got 70 A.D. Jerusalem destroyed. So if they're implying that's the destruction of Jerusalem, according to the scriptures, I'm not sure about that. But also, when you look through that list, like on the where you have 7:1 to 7:17, it looks to me, the way this chart is made, that they got the 144,000 witnessing in the second half of the tribulation. I know no one that teaches that. But that's what it looks like on that chart. But I passed this out because I thought I needed to explain to you what I mean by looping, what they mean by looping parallelism, what I call relapping. And that is, I can show it to you this way, is that some people think, like especially when you get to that sixth seal judgment, that you're really over here, the second coming of Christ. And when you get to the trumpet judgments, it goes back, and it doesn't start with the first seal judgment, it doesn't go right back to the beginning. Somewhere in the middle of the seal judgments is when the trumpet judgments start, and they go through, and then the last trumpet judgment is way over here. But the vial judgments back up into the trumpet judgments, so they think the book of Revelation keeps going back and then forward. Goes back, but not to the beginning, and then goes forward, then back, maybe to the middle, and then goes forward. And that's how some people study the book of Revelation. A lot of people study the book of Revelation. And I hunted for a chart that would show that, and I couldn't find one, except that in my old notes, I had this one. So I'm sharing it with you. And this looks nice and simple compared to this. But the book of Revelation is not simple. So a lot of times, maybe I'm too simple about things, but the question we really want to deal with here, does the book of Revelation keep going back and forward, back and forward, back and forward till it works its way to the end, or is it sequential? The six seal judgments, they come to their conclusion. The seven trumpet judgments come to their conclusion. The seven vial judgments comes to their conclusion, and Jesus Christ reigns. So that's where we're going to start today. Maybe I'll just tell you, because I'm not sure I put a lot of notes down here. The second question that we're going to ask is one of the things we're going to see is that in the sealed judgments, 144,000 are sealed to witness for the Lord. There is another, when you get to Revelation 11, there's these two witnesses that that go out and minister, and they minister 3.5 years. Everybody I know says the 144,000 and the two witnesses witness in the first half of the tribulation. I'm not sure I know anybody that doesn't teach that. That was weird that somebody had the 144 over here. But anyhow, everybody I know teaches they both witness during this time. And way back when I taught the book of Revelation, to me it was real clear that the 144,000 teach over here and the two witnesses are over here. And every time I say that to someone, they go, what? So I want to ask you that question because we're talking about the kingdom commission picking up in the tribulation, and certainly we're going to realize it's going to be picked up by the 144,000. And the two witnesses are involved in that too. And so we're going to ask our question at the beginning here of, do they witness at the same time, or does the 144,000 at the beginning and the two witnesses at the second half of the trib? So that's the second question, but we'll start dealing with that first question, asking about the seal judgment, trumpet judgments, vial judgments. Are they sequential or overlapping? So take your Bible, turn to Revelation. Let me first point out that those are the basic judgments in the book of Revelation. It's Revelation 5 that we saw the Lamb stood up and sealed book was given to him with seven seals on it. And when you get to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder and one of the four beasts saying, come see," and then now he's going to see him open the seal. So chapter 6, verse 1, starts the opening up of the seal judgments. If you come over to chapter 8 and verse 2, it says, "And I saw seven angels stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." And then now the trumpet judgments are going to be described at this point. And if you go all the way to chapter 15 in verse 1, it says, "I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." And when you get to chapter 16, verse 1, what he opens up, that those seven last plagues, I saw, 16:1 says, "I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your way and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." So you got the seal judgments, you got the trumpet judgments, you got the vial judgments. And each one of them, there's seven. And so in those process, are they sequential, running through? One of the things that you'll notice just in my drawing, I'll explain it now, is not only do I think they're sequential, and that's what my point is to show it as sequential, but what's interesting is the seventh seal judgment becomes the seven trumpet judgments. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. I don't know if this is later in my notes as well, but we'll take it now. Chapter 8, verse 1 says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." So it looks like the seventh seal opens up the seven trumpets, and likewise the seventh trumpet opens up the seven vials. Now that's part of my arguments, I think, later about why I think they're sequential, But I wanted you to see that so that when you're looking at that and you're thinking, instead of the judgment coming to earth, you see it going up here to another judgment. And that's why I drew it that way, is so that you can see there's a connection there. And we'll talk about, is that important? Go back to Revelation chapter 1. There is, in the first chapter of Revelation, there's this introduction. John's seeing a vision. He's seeing Jesus Christ standing. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's told in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 there, to write those letters to the seven churches, which is chapters 2 and 3. But in chapter 1, verse 19, he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, and he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Catch that order. Later on we'll read something that changes that order, and there's a reason. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the keys of hell and death. Verse 19 says, now Jesus Christ is speaking to John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which are, which shall be hereafter. And so, when you look at that verse, when I taught the book of Revelation, to me, that's a key verse to how to understand the book. John sees things, and you're going to go, there's like seven visions that he sees in the book of Revelation. He's up in heaven, and he sees something in heaven, then he sees the effect that it has on the earth. So, he's told to write the things that he had seen, and then the things which are. It's a strange way of looking at it, but look at verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest, so the things that you saw, in my right hand, the seven and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So write the things that thou saw and the things which are. Which tells me I don't have to figure out what the book of Revelation, what these things are. John's going to tell me what they are. And sound like a pirate, don't I? So that seems to be a key to the book of Revelation. John's going to write what he saw, then he's going to explain what they are. But go back to verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Now, to me, that tells me, okay, he's going to see something, going to tell me what they are, and he's going to tell me what happens after that. So that I'm looking at that thinking, well, that's going to tell me the book of Revelation is sequential. Watch this. Come to chapter 4, verse 1. He writes those seven churches, those letters. In chapter 4, verse 1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. So he wrote to those seven churches, and now he tells what happens after he writes those letters to the seven churches. Come over to chapter 7, verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth. And now he's going to explain those things. You come over to verse 9, where it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. And so he's explaining, he sees something, explains it, and then says, after this. Well, it goes all the way to chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, and after that I looked, and behold, a temple. It was open up in heaven and so forth. Chapter 18, verse 1 says, after these things I saw another angel. And so you get the idea. Chapter 19, verse 1 is the other one. After these things I heard a voice. So he keeps telling what comes hereafter. So when I ask the questions, are they sequential? Well, we already realize it first talks about the seal judgments. Then after that, it talks about the trumpet judgments. And after that, it talks about the vial judgments. And it appears that they're going to follow each other. And as we made the point, is one might give in to the other. So as you get familiar with these, go to chapter 6, and let me point something out that when I've talked to others about this, one of the reasons that I think they're sequential is that when you study the seal judgments, The destruction is described in a percentage of 1/3. When you get to, no, wait a minute, did I get the right, 1/4, said that wrong. Starts out, the percentage of destruction is 1/4. Trumpet judgments, they're 1/3. And when you get to the vial judgments, it's all. So they couldn't be happening at the same time, because how could 1/4 turn into 1/3, and then jump to all? For instance, in chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, followed with him. And power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." Now, remember I told you, watch those, the order? When Jesus Christ showed up, he had the keys to what? No. Hell and death. This guy shows up, it's death and hell. See, this guy, he's coming to kill, and when someone dies, where do they go? They go to hell. When the Lord Jesus showed up, when he's coming, he's got the keys to hell and death. Remember, hell is a place of departed spirits. You know, David, "Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell." He's going to release people from the place that they're being held and give them resurrection into life. So there's the difference of why those two, I just pointed that out. But the main point of looking at this verse is that you see one-fourth of the earth dying. Now, before I leave there, look at this. We're still in the seal judgments. Look at verse 12. It says, "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island moved out of their place." Now that's just another piece of information, that when that sixth seal opens, this earthquake moves every island and every mountain. Just keep that in your thoughts. Come over to chapter 8 now in verse 7. Now we're in the trumpet judgments. And in verse 7 it says, "And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burned up, and the grass was burned up." And then the second angel sounds, and it says, well, just read verse 8, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became as blood. And so verse 9, we'll talk about a third part. Verse 10, we'll talk about a third part. Verse 11, we'll talk about a third part. Verse 11 says, "And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became as wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter." So you keep reading, everything's 1/3 there. But you need to go even further. Chapter 9 and verse 13, it says, "And the sixth angel sounded," now we're in the sixth trumpet judgment, "and I heard a voice of the four horns of the golden altar, which was before God," and drop down to verse 18, "and by these were a third, by these three was a third part of men killed by fire and by smoke and by brimstone, which issued out of their mouths." So we don't have to get all the details, but you got a third part of man killed. Well, in the seal judgments, fourth part of man was killed. Now, what's interesting to me, if you can do math, what is 1/4 plus 1/3? You got to, you know, change the denominators and all the rest. It comes very close, just shy of 1/2. So, by the time the sixth trumpet judgments, half the world is dead. So that's the trumpet judgments. Now you come over to chapter 15. In verse 1, we've already read it, it says, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them For in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now that idea, filling up, well, that's bringing judgment to its end, right? To a conclusion. And that's why it's not said, but it's implied. For instance, chapter 16, verse 2, the first angel poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Well, that's everybody but, except any believer that might be hidden away somewhere. Everybody who's this is my point is, not we're talking about all. Everybody who's left is now suffering these events. Same thing in verse 3. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as blood of dead men and every living soul in the sea. Every living soul died in the sea. Right, but the idea is every. Verse 4, third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of water, and they became as blood. And the whole point is that it's indicating that all are dying. Now also, look over at verse 18. Verse 17 tells you it's now the seventh angel pouring out his vial. So we're at this one here. And when he pours out his vial, it says, maybe I should read verse 17 for later. Verse 17 says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there became a great noise out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightning, and there was a great earthquake. Oh, we're used to earthquakes, aren't we? Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came into remembrance before God to give to her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hailstone, like 100-pound stones. What did I tell you to remember about the islands? The earthquake that took place in the seal judgments, what happened to the islands and mountains there? They were moved. What happens to the mountains and islands here? They're gone. And you keep reading that word every. So two things. The judgment here doesn't match the six vial judgments, or the six seal judgments. Not only you only got one quarter here and you have all over here, but you have islands moving here, but they're gone over here. And see, I don't think that this is this over here. There's some similarities. People see those similarities and say, oh, they're the same. That the sixth seal judgment is really over here. No, I think it's way over here. And they're similar, but it gets worse as you go along. And that's, again, one of my reasons for thinking that these judgments are sequential, and they're getting stronger, heavier as you move, and more destruction as judgments are fallen sequentially in this. My third point is what I was telling you about the seal judgments become the trumpet judgments. Let me show you some verses about the trumpet judgments becoming the vial judgments. That one's not quite as clear, but start with Revelation chapter 11. And verse 14. It says, the second woe is past, behold, and the third woe cometh quickly. Now, later on we'll talk about those woes. But you're actually at the second woe is past. So this is the second woe over here. But when he says the third woe cometh quickly, I think what it comes quickly is when you get to the vial judgments, I think you're way past the middle of the trib, and these things are flying really quick, bringing things to an end. And I get that impression when I compare the verses and the activity. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 12, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. So there's that woe because the devil is cast down. You're certainly past the middle or at the middle of tribulation. Satan is cast down. But this detail is starting to tell you about the woe, because when he comes down, he knows he has but a short time. Now, there's still that 3.5 years, but if you go to that chapter 15 and verse 1, the wrath is coming to be filled up, and then as we looked at those verses in chapter 16, they start falling fast. But in chapter 15, verse 7, it says, "And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." And maybe those aren't the best verses, but it sounds like when that seventh trumpet sounds, it goes into the last woe, but opens up the seven vial judgments, and these things come quickly. Because actually, look, think about this, that the second coming of Jesus Christ is the seventh vial judgment. When we read that over in verses 17 and following, when Great Babylon comes to his mind, the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, is the destruction of the religious system and the political system, and Jesus Christ reigns, chapter 19. So that last vial judgment, when it's poured out, it's over. So anyhow, it looks like one gives over to the other, so it can't loop back, was the whole idea of that. Now, I had another piece of paper that I passed out to you. And go back to Revelation chapter 6. And you don't need to go back to, in fact, you don't have to even look at Revelation 6, because what you have in this paper comparing Matthew 24 with Revelation chapter 6, there is something about the seal judgments and what the Lord said when he first, in the first half of Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew 24, the first couple verses is the Lord has told them he's left the temple unto them desolate, and they came and asked him, "When shall these things be, the destruction of the temple, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world?" So the Lord is now going to answer their question. When is the temple going to get destroyed? What's going to be the sign of his coming? When's the end of the world? When he does that, it starts in verse 3, he starts describing things that if you compare it to Revelation chapter 6, the seal judgments match the beginning, like in Matthew 24:8. It names a bunch of things and said, this is the beginning of sorrows. Now remember, my point is, are the seal judgments restricted to the very beginning, or do they come all the way to the end? And by matching those statements in Matthew 24, the beginning of sorrows, to the seal judgments, this is the beginning. It's not the end. And now I tell you, that I typed up this parable this long time ago when we were studying the book of Revelation and gave it out. I have heard Pastor Jordan talk about this connection that I'm about to show you. And he said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. So smart men can be dumb sometimes. There's a couple things that I've taught in the book of Revelation that I've heard him later refer to, like, that's silly, you know, and I'm thinking, no, that's how it is. But I want you to just look at this, and there is one little thing that causes a little bit of a problem here, but whether you look at Revelation 6 and follow the verses, but Matthew 24, beginning in verse 3, the Lord says, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came and asked him," oh, I didn't realize I started way back there, "tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming, the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." So he's going to talk about the coming of the end of the world. Revelation 6, verses 1 and 2, "I saw, and when the Lamb had opened the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and the four beasts saying, Come, see, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. It's always suggested that if you ever buy a commentary on the book of Revelation, go to that verse and find out who they're thinking is coming. Because the person that's coming, if you compare it to Matthew 24, is Antichrist. And that's what's happening in Revelation. A lot of people who wrote about Revelation 6:1 says there's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, this is the Antichrist showing up. He has a bow in his hand. He don't have any arrows, but he's coming to conquer and to conquering and to conquer. And the Bible tells us he does it through flattery. He does it through offering peace. He doesn't have to do it through war at the beginning. So that person showing up matches what we just read over there in Matthew about Antichrist showing up. Then back in Matthew 24, continuing the verses, it says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Well, Revelation 6, beginning in verse 3, continuing reading there. It says, "And when he opened the second seal, I heard of the second beast saying, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. And they shall kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." So wars, rumors, wars, nation against nation, it's matching. Matthew 24 goes on to say, "There shall be famines." Revelation 6:5 says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard a third beast saying, 'Come see, and behold, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard the voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, 'A measure of wheat for a penny.'" Now in the Bible, a penny is a day's wage. So compare that to, you know, $100 or more for people make money today. So a measure of wheat to make a loaf of bread would cost a whole day's pay. And a measure of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So that matches, there's famine, because the price of food has just jumped way up. Matthew, the next thing it says, there's going to be pestilence. Revelation 6:7 says, "And when he had opened the sixth seal, I heard a voice of the four angels saying, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and he that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him." So people are dying, going to hell. "And power was given unto him over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth." So there's the pestilence. Then Matthew 24 goes on to say, "And earthquakes in diverse places." Now this is the one that, watch this, because that's kind of out of order here. It says there's going to be earthquakes in diverse places, but the next word says, "And all these are the beginning of sorrows." So we're all way down to the fifth seal judgment, and all this is called the beginning. In fact, the first couple, wars and rumors of wars, I'm not even sure the 70th week of Daniel began yet. That those wars and rumors of wars might even be over here working our way into the beginning of the tribulation, at least in my thinking, because kingdom against kingdom, that stuff takes time. That's not, you know, we've got 3.5 years for the first half. So I'm thinking that after the rapture takes place, the whole world is restructuring and someone's fighting for power and he starts gaining that power, and then there's wars that follow that. And so anyhow, we're down to that fifth judgment, seal judgment, and the Bible, if you match it with Matthew, that's just the beginning of sorrows. My whole point is, are they sequential? Or is the fifth and sixth seal judgment, or the sixth and seventh, are they way over here at the end? I don't think they're here over here at the end, and I'm not even at my main point yet. So anyhow, Revelation 6:9 says, "And he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held." And they're asking the Lord how long they're going to be there. So there's people that are dying. Like if you go back to Matthew 24, after it says, "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." Well, there's the martyrs. That matches. The only thing that's out of order is that earthquake. But if you go to Revelation 6:12, "And I beheld and opened the sixth seal, lo, a great earthquake." There it is. So that why that one's out of order like that, I don't know. And you know, like you could either throw the whole thing out if you want, that the other things match. And there is, by the way, there is more than just the earthquake of the sixth seal judgment and the seventh vial judgment. There's earthquakes all through. And I showed you there's a difference between the seal earthquake and the vial earthquake on the effect upon the earth. Anyhow, finishing out Matthew 24, verse 10 says, "And then many shall be offended and betray one another and hate one another, and false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endures the end, the same shall be saved. In this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, then shall the end come." So Matthew 24 covers those seal judgments and then says what's going to take place, that witness is going to go to all the world, and then shall the end come. That sixth seal judgment is that earthquake, and that the seventh, I believe, turns over to the trumpet judgments. So that's another reason why I think it's sequential. I don't know if this bores you or helps you look at the book of Revelation and want to study it more, but that's my prayer anyhow, is that I thought to myself, if you can't get interested in the book of Revelation, it's going to be pretty tough teaching anything. Anyhow, let's move on. And it's not to the other question. I'm probably not even going to start the other question. I want to finish this part here. This is the last point on this then. I want you to follow. I mentioned this, and this is really like 2 weeks ago, and I thought, okay, I need to stop and show you this. I want you to follow the progression of the great men of the earth, first of all being in fear, and then no fear, to fighting Jesus Christ at Armageddon. And to me, this is the biggest proof. For instance, Revelation chapter 6, verse 15. It says, "And the kings of the earth and the great men." Now, we're in that sixth seal judgment. So we're right here. And I believe we're early into the first part of the tribulation. So again, verse 15 says, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men." So keep that list in your mind. You got the kings of the earth. You got the great men of the earth. You got the rich men of the earth. Sometimes they're about the same. You got the chief captains, so now you got the warriors, and the mighty men who fight under those chief captains, and every bondman and every free man, so it's got the whole world here, hid themselves in the dens of the rocks and in the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, I pointed out to you when we talked about the rapture that the tribulation is called the wrath of God. And some people think it's only the last half or right at the end is really the wrath of God. Some people actually think it's the second coming. That's the wrath of God. But my point to you is that sixth seal, the whole world, the heavens have rolled back in a scroll. They realize this is judgment from Jesus Christ, and they're running and hiding. They're in fear at the sixth seal. Now follow along through the book of Revelation. Come to Revelation chapter 13. Now remember, Satan is cast out of heaven in chapter 12. And he's going to show up here on earth. But there's someone that's already a political figure that's already taken a political leadership of the earth. But in Revelation chapter 13, it says, I'll start in verse 3. "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death." Now this, I'll start with verse 1. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet like the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, gave him his seat and great his power, his seat and great authority." The dragon is Satan. That's who was cast out of heaven in chapter 12. But this beast that rises up, This is the man, we usually call him the Antichrist. He's a political leader, and Satan has worked to give him that place of authority. Verse 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads," so one of the seven leaders of this, "one of his heads were as it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon that gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Now those cowards now see a political leader arise, and it looked like he had a resurrection from the dead. So they worship the person that rose him from the dead, the dragon, Satan, and they're worshiping the beast, the Antichrist. But in worshiping, they're saying, who's able to make war with him? Look at the power this guy has. He has the power of life. And so you see them now starting to follow him and look at him as a great leader, a political leader, a military leader as well. So verse 5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So you know where you are here, right? "And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and the and his tabernacle and to them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints," and so forth. Here's a man in the middle, has this dramatic resurrection, and he can curse the God of heaven. Now remember, they saw heaven open over here, and now this guy is on earth cursing him up there in heaven and speaking blasphemous things, and people say, who's able to make war with this guy? So, you know, you see a little change of attitude going on. Come over to chapter 16. Verse 13. "And I saw three unclean spirits." Now we're at the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the earth. We're in the sixth vial judgment here. "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet." There's your unholy trinity. "For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles." People like miracles, don't they? "Which go forth unto the kings of the earth and to the whole world to gather them to the battle at the great day of God. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and he that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together unto the place that is called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So the influence of Satan, the beast, and the false prophet go out and influence the whole world to gather now here to fight Jesus Christ, who they're afraid of over here. And come over to chapter 19. Let's see the result of what happened in this battle. Verse 17. It says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God." Well, why is he doing that? "That ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men." You recognize those people? "And the flesh of horses, and they that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." That's the same list that was in Revelation chapter 6, where they're in the rocks hiding. But now they're there, they're going to fight him at Armageddon, and so the Lord calls for the fowls to come and eat. Verse 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth." I just read that. No, I didn't. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, which wrought miracles before him and which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of fire and brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse and which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's the end of Armageddon. The beast and the false prophet thrown in the bottomless pit, but the birds come, and all the men, all those people that were hiding over here and fighting over here are now slain by Jesus Christ, the word that comes out of his mouth, and the birds come and eat their flesh, so they don't have to bury anybody, let the birds eat them. My point to you, if that sequence we just did is true, then the seal judgments are the beginning of sorrows. Then we move into that middle of tribulation, and then that vile judgments is really right at the end of the tribulation, and so they're sequential, they're not overlapping. And I believe that's the way you're supposed to read and study the book of Revelation. And that's the whole purpose of saying that, is give you a little bit of revelation. But now we're going to talk about who's going to witness here and who's going to witness here, because we're talking about the kingdom commission picking up again. And how does it pick up? Well, when we answer that other question, we're going to figure out who's witnessing during that tribulation. And that's why we're asking that question about when do the 144,000 witness and when do the two witnesses witness. And that's interesting study too. So we'll pick up there next week. That already puts us a week behind because we didn't answer both questions today. But hopefully that's helpful to you or enjoyable one way or another. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for a Bible that has told us about the past, and sometimes studying that is hard to put together since there's a lot of history. We thank you for the present so that we know what you're doing today and what our hope is for this age of grace, what our commission is, and pray that that information is not lost as we move on. But we do thank you that a Bible that even tells us what the future holds and what the men of the earth and the lost people are going to face and what chances the world will have to hear that gospel of the kingdom in those last days. So we thank you for our study. We thank you for the Bible. And thank you for the interest of those that are here. And we pray this and thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.